It is the afternoon's program and welcome to it. And I'll tell you what, we are jam-packed. We have had a little bit of an issue, haven't we, leading into this one, where the earlier program, the Matt White program, hosted by Julian King, stole our talk topic. But anyway, we've recovered. That low act, Kian, will not drag us down today. In fact, we're going to go the other way. We'll get to that very shortly. It is 4 minutes past 12 in New South Wales. It's 4 minutes past 11 in Queensland. And good on you, afternooners. Thanks for tuning in. However you are listening, SEN welcomes you to our very broad house of worship. If you're north of the border, it's fantastic to have you as part of the program. You're on there, the Gold Coast, SEN Gold Coast 1620, SENQ in Brisbane, 693 AM, SEN 1170 AM in Sydney. And of course, download that app. You can listen anywhere at any time. Massive program coming up. Darcy McDonald from Fox Sports. Not a whole heap around in the NRL. And then Anthony Seibold comes and chats in his first day on the job there as head coach of the Manly Seagulls. We'll have a bit of that very shortly. We'll find out what's trending with Coach K. I've got a very special guest just before 1 o'clock. Pat Cummins, the Australian cricket captain. And we're going to have a chat with Patty. Greg Chalmers has had a really good PGA Australia Tour tournament, tied for seventh in that one. We thought we'd have a chat with him today. Afternoon's Amplified and a score update with Coach K. We've got to get across to New Zealand to see Staffy and the crew. Tristan Merlihan will be along. Matt McKay, who is a former Socceroos captain, he's going to tell us what to expect against Denmark on Thursday morning. We'll get a score update again from Coach K. Then we dive into the text line, and we do that because it's your chance to take control of the program, and we do it for sbsfence.com.au. All right, let's get into it. What is making news today? Well, we're a couple of days out from some big events, aren't we? Tomorrow, the test match in Western Australia. But what is the reception that this Australian side is going to be greeted by? We can ask Paddy Cummins about that. 6,000 tickets sold for the first 3 days, apparently. Now, even that, you start to think, if you're going to release numbers like that, you'd be fudging them as well. Apparently, half of those went to Cam Green's family. So, are the Australian team going to be booed there? They're up against a West Indies side that is not the strongest on the planet. I see they're trying to talk up this and talk up that and all of that, all of the time. There's Justin Langer poised with his Channel 7 mic, ready to pounce. So what are the Australians going to encounter tomorrow? And I'm not talking about the West Indies. David Warner was talking yesterday. He talked a lot about how long he's got at the elite level, what he's going to do after that. He also had a bit of advice for Cam Green. But here's Dave Warner talking about what's in store for him.
These legs are still fresh. If I'm still scoring runs, I'll have to obviously assess where we are at the end of the season. Speak to the family. Obviously, I've got three young, beautiful girls, and my wife at home has sacrificed a lot. So there's a lot of things that I have to weigh up.
So it gets to a point where you're saying, Dave Warner was like, you know what? You just keep squeezing the lemon until you can't anymore. Or certainly from a test point of view. You know, the ODIs and the T20 you might be able to tour around for a while, but that would put then stress on that young family that he just referenced there, Dave. But from a test point of view, you just play as many as you can, and you have to get dragged out by the selectors. I reckon that's how it goes. You see it with all those great players for Australia. Some retire. Greg Chappell did it. Others, like Ricky Ponting, in the end had to be dragged out. So I'd think it'd be something similar for Dave Warner. Interesting that Dave, who's played, I wouldn't know how many IPLs now, at least 10, would have to have played in 10 different editions of the IPL, is now advising Cam Green. And he's putting a lot of perspective on this too. So Cam's going to nominate himself for the IPL. He's going to play test matches across this Australian summer, 5. He's got 4 test matches against India in India. He's got white ball cricket against India in India. He's then got the IPL. I think it's 18 weeks straight in India. And then he'll go into an Ashes series. After that, he'll have 50 over World Cup back in India. So he's got a lot of cricket coming up for him. And Dave Warner just said, look, it's totally up to him, but just be aware that the impact it can have on you. I think that's completely fair. A lot of people say, oh, typical Warner, you know, all right for him. He's been there for 10 years and he's earned all this big money. But don't you think that it's, Dave is well placed to comment. Like, if he can't comment on it, who can? So I think that was completely fair. We talked about West Indies and how strong they are or aren't. Here's Usman Khawaja doing his best to move some tickets.
They have a little bit of inexperience in their team, and people can sometimes take that as, oh, for some reason that we're going to win really easily or we're better. And it's kind of frustrating at times because when you do play, I've never really played a test match that's been easy.
So there you go. Aussie's talking it up. Fair enough. Fair enough. So what do we got? We've got to find something positive. Alzari Joseph apparently is the guy that he's the one to take over from Kemo Roach. We know Kemo Roach is world class, but very quick, Joseph. They've faced him a little bit beforehand. That was when he was a youngster, but let's see how he goes. We want to see a long test. We don't want to see it over in 3 days. And then after all of that, we want to see Australia win. So it's a really difficult position that they find themselves in. We'll have a chat with Paddy Cummins about that a little bit later on this hour as well. It's all quiet on the Qatari front, isn't it? So we're sort of saying, okay, well, let's get ready for Thursday morning. We've had the story about Martin Boyle and while he's still in camp. We've had the story about Harry Suter and what he eats. Apparently that's amazing. Ajin Rustic is maybe coming into the starting side, played 30 minutes against Tunisia, but everything going along swimmingly at this point. Okay, nothing to be concerned about at this point, and we're all very expectant about what's going to happen on Thursday morning at 2 o'clock. Can I give you some perspective about this, people? And we're going to speak to Matt McKay about this too, the former Australian captain. Australia are $7.25. Like, that's sobering. Denmark, $1.48 to win. The draw is $3.75. The draw, remember, gets us into the round of 16 if Tunisia draw with France as well. So that is ahead of us. I'll get your thoughts on that as well. Anthony Seibold, the new era has begun at the Northern Beaches. The coach, an outsider in many ways. Of course, he nearly signed with the club. He certainly lives in the area. But here's Anthony Seibold today talking alongside his CEO, Tony Mestrov, and about trying to prove people wrong.
The best thing about the opportunity here is not trying to prove people wrong. It's about trying to prove people right. You know, we've got a group that we feel as they can do something, but there's a lot of work to do. And that's the picture I want to paint really clearly. Like, we can be optimistic about what we want to do, and I can talk about the potential in the group, but that's easy to talk to. Like, they're just words, aren't they? So, yeah, the challenge is what we do on the park, and it starts, you know, with what you do every day in pre-season. So that's my focus, not Brisbane. Not my learnings. I've been through all that. That's in the rearview mirror. And I like so far the attitude of the players with regards to the work they're doing. We're right at the very beginning of pre-season. It's easy to do early.
So as Anthony says, you know, basically all we've got is words at the moment. They can't do anything else than that. They can't. They can perform on the training paddock, and that's away from us, the prying eyes of the fans and the media. But it all comes down to what do they do on the field next year? That is the big question. And the big question around Manly, of course, is how many games does Tom Trbojevic play? That seems to be the barometer about how they perform during the course of the year. And understandably so, when we know what a great player he is. Away from the rugby league and away from the cricket, Australian boxing star Timmy Zhu has arrived 9 weeks early for this huge fight against Jermell Charlo for the undisputed super welterweight title. He's going to cost him $250,000, apparently. He doesn't fight till January 29. That's fine. Splitting his time between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. The last word that he gave the press as he departed, it's hunting season. So I know his father was legendary about the intensity of his preparation. So maybe we're getting something similar here from Timmy Zhu. Remember, you've got the rest of your life to think about the 9 weeks you've got leading up to this fight. If he becomes the undisputed super welterweight champion of the world, then the rest of his life will look after itself. Going to spend time at Joe Goosen's gym in LA, and he's going to shut the gym during the course of that 4 week period leading up to it. So again, away from prying eyes, but that is absolutely huge. Timmy Zhu taking on Jermell Charlo over there in the US on January 29. The Giants, they picked up the first draft pick in the... Did anyone watch it? Everyone did. Do you see the numbers at the... So put this in perspective, because we had the Sydney Kings go down on the road last night. We'll get to that in What's Trending with Coach K. They went down on the road. So disappointment for them in that one. And we had Keanu Pinder, who's he was getting involved a little bit of social media action with this program, which was absolutely great. We'll get to that very shortly as well. But do you realise that four times as many people, at least, because we don't know the numbers on that game last night, at least watched the AFL draft? So you can't tell me there's not a commercial opportunity available to the NRL with something similar. We know there's not a draft, but surely you can build some sort of event. They could have that. They could have a trade period. Over to you, Clint Newton, who's back in town for a key meeting on Friday with Andrew Abdo. But over 100,000 people watched GWS pick up Aaron Cadman. That was on the number one draft pick. He's looking like a replacement for Jeremy Cameron, 195 centimetres tall and can kick goals. So that's a good starting point, right, in that game, from what I understand. And then the other one is we've had a protester over there in the World Cup. So they weren't shown on camera, but the commentator, John Champion, confirmed that they were carrying a rainbow flag. They had a T-shirt with the Superman logo and the words Save Ukraine on the front and Respect for Iranian Women on the back. And then he was frog marched off the grass. It'd be very interesting if we get an update as to what's going on there. That was on the back of Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal getting a 2-0 victory as well, which puts them into the round of 16. Was there some sort of speculation that he didn't actually get his head on that? I think there was, wasn't there? But we might have a bit more of that in what's trending as well. But on the back of our talk topic being stolen by those, I can't believe they did it. Although, when thinking about it more, Costigan involved, you know, win at any price. So we've changed our talk topic today. We were going to talk about the great West Indian cricketers of yesteryear, but why don't we do this? Just to pull back the curtain a little bit, Matt Mackay and Greg Chalmers, we've had to pre-record because of their schedules. So we got the opportunity to speak to these guys. I'd never met them before and never spoken to them before, but two of the best blokes you would ever care to meet. Lovely fellas, had great chats off air prior to speaking to them and post the interview as well. So our talk topic today is the best blokes and sheilas that you've ever met from Elite Sport. Let us know. 1300 01 1170. We've got the $100 cash up for grabs thanks to Tristan and the team up there at Top Sport. Get us on the text line as well, 0457 736 736. We've got the Signet Power Bank to give away for that. The best blokes and sheilas you've ever met in Australian sport. Paul Sirenin is always regarded as one of the great blokes. I tell you what, when I first met Noel Ned Kelly, it was only about 20 years ago, and this legendary hard man, as nice a bloke as you would ever care to meet. So the legendary hard man and tough player from the era of legendary hard men and tough players, he might have been the toughest of them all, was the nicest bloke off the field you've ever met. Let us know, 1300 01 1170, the text line 0457 736 736. We'll take a break. After that, we're back with Darcy McDonald. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.